Radio, and we certainly are glad that you are here. And in the background, you're listening to the Classics 4, named after a drum set, and the number of people in the band. They were formed in Jacksonville, Florida in the late 60s and started singing around Florida, and then were eventually discovered, and later on in life, they formed the Atlanta Rhythm Section. So if anybody knows the Atlanta Rhythm Section from the late 70s, that was the a lot of the members that came out of the Classics 4, but one of the few drum, Dennis Yost, who was the drummer on this and also the lead singer, kind of like Genesis, where, you know, Phil Collins is the drummer and the lead singer. But the interesting thing of it was is that Dennis Yost was one of the few drummers that played drums standing up.
Really?
Which is really hard, because I'm a drummer, and I've tried playing drums standing up, and it's really hard to rock on your heels while you're using the hi-hat and the bass drum. But he played an entire drum set standing up all the time.
Wait, this has nothing to do with Your Money or Matters, but I need to ask. I've never heard you're a drummer.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else is the amazing Rick Grady from Cornerstone Grady and Lee, city council member for Plano, and he's also a drummer.
I played drums. I started at the young age of three or four on my mother's pots and pans, using giant ladles, and she wasn't thrilled with that. And so when I was about five, they bought me my first drum set, and about five and a half, they put me in the basement so they wouldn't have to listen to it. But I started playing drums pretty early on.
Well, very good. Well, I am merely Todd Markham, Navicore Solutions, without any musical talent whatsoever, although I was the lead in my high school musical.
Were you?
I'll leave it at that, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was not that good. Oh, and there I am.
I'm turning you up a little louder because I can
right.
hear you.
All right. So very good. Well, welcome to Your Money, Your Matters, and playing the song Spooky, because here we are.
It's close.
It's Halloween week.
Do you realize, and I didn't realize this until I started reading some statistics on it, because I just wanted to know how much people spend on Halloween.
Oh.
$7 billion will be spent in the United States on Halloween.
All right, so this is where Rick and I do such a good job of collaborating on stories. So Rick always brings the stats, and I always bring the tale. So Rick, guess what I was doing last night? From about 7
to
9.
I don't want to ask about tales.
Yes. So my girlfriend Amy and I went to four different Halloween shopping stores.
Oh, did you?
Because, and it's funny, I love taking my son to, you know, the spirit stores, the one that pop up just for the season.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's
mm-hmm.
places like Party Station, Party City, mm-hmm. Party Rock, that are year-round places. So anyway, of course, the spirit stores have been open for about 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've probably been in one with my son at least five times over the last 2 months. Have we purchased anything? No, of course not. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're shopping, we're getting ideas. And so this weekend, both of my kids, Josh and Katie, well, we don't know what we're going to be. And my daughter's like, I don't like to buy costumes. I like to make them. And my son came up with the idea that he would like to make a costume, but he didn't realize that to make it, it was going to cost about $75.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we could do this cheaper buying you something. And he's concerned that. So anyway, so Amy said, she goes, you know, I've never dressed up for Halloween. And being new to Texas and going out trick-or-treating with your kids, I think I should go out and get a costume. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Now you decide this the Monday before Halloween, 5 days to go. And I said, well, wait a second. If you're going to dress up, now the onus is on me to dress up and match you in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, we hit. Oh, and we are going. And that was one of the two choices. So, but we went to the Spirit Store in Plano, the Spirit Store in McKinney, Party Rock, and Party Station in Frisco, all kind of dotting up and down mm-hmm. the 121 corridor, looking for things that would fit her, because I'm a guy and I'm easy, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but girls, especially because half of the Halloween costumes for women nowadays, they're not so much dress up, but dress down, if you know what I mean. They're very
dress less.
They're very sexy and form-fitting, of which She was very distraught. She goes, no, this won't look good on me. This won't look good on me. Mm-hmm. And so outside of putting the idea of should we go as a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, so with a big block around me as peanut butter and a big block around her as jelly,
mm-hmm.
they had one where you could dress up as s'mores together. One, you could be ketchup and mustard, and you each wear a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, we came up with either we're going to do a superhero set or a Star Wars set. So, yes, you were right. Mm-hmm. She was looking for either Princess Leia
mm-hmm.
or Catwoman. And so we
okay.
went. So,
picturing Catwoman and Star Wars.
Yeah, so we wouldn't do them together. So we're going to do either one grouping or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to these four stores. Let me tell you, three of the four stores were absolutely packed. And so when you talk about $7 billion, there's a lot of people like me.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is that I've shopped at a bunch of these places. I just haven't bought. If I'd
mm-hmm.
committed early on, I would have had my choice and my sizes and all of that. So instead, Amy knew exactly what she wanted. So the first place, they didn't have the Catwoman outfit in her size.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a rather petite thing. So the medium was actually falling off of her. And also like 8 inches too long at the bottom. So she's like, I need a small or an extra small. And anyway, so we went to the next store, and they had the same one in a medium. They had Princess Leia in a standard, one size fits all. And I said, for somebody who's 5 feet and 100-something pounds dripping wet,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is not going to go good. And it looked like she was wearing drapes with the Princess Leia bun. It was massive. And I said, you look more like a ghost. like you put white sheets on, you know. You're the ghost of Leia. So then we went to the third place, which was the Spirit Store in Plano. And literally, I don't think I could get a parking spot there in front of the store. And we were like, this is going to be packed. And it was
mm-hmm.
and it was jam-packed. And this was at like 8:30 at night. And I was good news for our local businesses.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just shocked, and of course, things are starting to get picked over, but she found the right size for Catwoman. They had nothing for me as far as a Batman would be,
mm-hmm.
but maybe a Joker. I was a Joker in 2008, and I kind of like, you don't want to be the same thing. So then we went to a fourth store. They don't carry any Batman stores outfits for adults, but they had a bunch of the Star Wars things, and they had the Star Wars stuff in her size. So now we've got the dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
Does she go as Catwoman, and I still have to figure out Batman or Joker or something
mm-hmm.
else? Or does she go and return the Catwoman and then get one of these Princess Leia's and I'm something for Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
which we then can wear again December 18th or December 17th opening
That's
night
true.
For the
That's
Star Wars? Because I am one of those people that dress up for big movie things,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Or choice. C3, which we'll probably end up doing, is keep the Catwoman because it was hard enough to find something that fit her,
mm-hmm.
and she'll have that for next year,
mm-hmm.
and get a Princess
Or she
Leia.
Can just wear it around the house.
Yes. And then I said, you know, there's choice D, which is, I said, you because she would never wear like the Princess Leia, the slave Leia costume, the special one from Return of the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
Which I think was an episode of Friends as well. That was one of Ross's fantasies
mm-hmm.
to see Rachel dress up as Slave Leia, and of course, in the end, she does. And I said, you could get that, and I would never want to see you wear that for Halloween. But it's just nice, you know, to be mopping the floors or cooking something. I'm just kidding. So anyway, so what did we spend last night? So we spent $60 on
mm-hmm.
the Catwoman costume without getting any of the accessories that, of course, they have.
No
like
whip.
The whip. No, and there's no whip. Can you be Catwoman without a whip?
That's right. She already had one.
I know. I had that back when I was Indiana Jones, right? No. So now I'm looking at Batman things online, and to match something that would even be close to her would be $60 with a goofy-looking mask or another $36 to have a full rubberized, the full mask that goes mm-hmm. over my head and around my neck. And so I could be looking at $96 to match her $60.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, with tax, I'm over $100.
Yep.
For the two of us. And then, of course, I'm taking pictures for what would work for my son. Mm-hmm. So my son is 11 years old, and he's really into Minecraft. And he wants to dress up as not a character from Minecraft. He wants to dress up as one of the YouTubers who does videos about Minecraft all the time. And his character is a Minecraft, but it's a specialized skin. People that do Minecraft would understand what that means. Mm-hmm. I don't even necessarily understand what that means. But it's a specialized skin. So Josh said, I need to have something that looks like a suit. Like a suit? I said, okay, well, we can get you a Halloween customized suit for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and then I need to get a big box to put around my head because we're all blocky figures.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will color all over to make the pattern that this guy's face is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, but look, at the spirit store, they have these for $25 ready-made Minecraft heads with the pixelation. And he goes, so I could buy this for $25 and then just color over it to make it the look I need it to be. I said, so wait a second. So now you were looking at a $36 gangster suit, which will do the trick, and then a big box.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's a cardboard box, for goodness sake, for $25.
Mm.
So we're looking at $60 now for Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And now my daughter is hearing all this, and she's like, well, this isn't fair. Maybe I should buy one. So let's just say that the Mark family is going to be up over $200, most likely, for Halloween. That does not include any decor. That does not include any candy, although we haven't figured out if we're going to put out a bowl in front of the apartment complex as a different thing, and then getting whatever candy for the house to put out while I'm taking the kids trick-or-treating, or we're taking the kids trick-or-treating. So yeah, I'm looking at this and saying this could be like $250 plus with candy, which, dare I say, Rick, amidst all of the other financial clutter and chaos in my life, this may be the most I've ever spent for Halloween, which is perfect timing, just in time for the holidays, which are right around the corner.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's huge.
It's absolutely amazing. And you know, people throw parties down the block from me. One of my neighbors, he must have a special storage bin someplace to contain all this stuff, because his front yard is all gated off now with a wrought iron fence. And I don't know if it's, you know, wood or if it's real wrought iron, but it's the whole front has this black thing with a big old squeaky gate on it. He must have 50 tombstones in his yard right now. Skeletons, things hanging from the trees, all kinds of stuff. So it looks like you're basically walking up to some castle at some point in time. Maybe it was, you know, Vladimir the Impaler or something, because of all of these stones that are in the front yard.
Wow.
And he has to have, I mean, I don't know where he can't put it in the house, he can't put it in his attic or anything. He has to have a special storage thing just for this stuff. And so I'm guessing he has, you know, several $100 out there. My guess is he's probably got close to $1,000 in just decorations in his front yard that he's collected maybe over time. I'll give him the benefit that he's bought one or two every year for the past 25 or 30 years, and he just moved in the neighborhood, you know, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's all done up with lighting. You drive by it at night, and there's, you know, flashing lighting and thunder and the sound of rain, and, you know, the house looks like it's on fire. And, you know, I mean, it's a movie set.
Have you ever done your house up like this?
I made it, so I had taken orange, purple, and white lights and wrapped them in basically around a very long board, put them underneath each one of the windows on the inside, and then turned them on so that they would flash. And it does give the effect that the house is on fire when you're standing on the outside,
really?
Because of this orange and purple and red flashing that's going on. So I've done that, but I've never decorated up the front yard.
You and Alex never put, like, zombies together?
No. I mean, we carved pumpkins and put those out there, but no, it's not as... We're not trying to scare the kids that are in the neighborhood. We want them to come up and get some candy.
Really, really. Because, you know, in my neighborhood in Frisco, there are a couple houses that do try to terrify at least the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy every year that has a fully mechanized chainsaw, and he does the Texas Chainsaw Massacre with the mask, and the music is playing, and they've got a steam machine, and you just hear these shrieks, and you realize, oh my gosh, this is the house we're coming up on. And my son has gotten to the point where we have to be on the other side of the street. And I said, Josh, last year I said, Josh, he's a neighbor. He's
yeah.
not really, there's not really a murderer out on Halloween killing people.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but that's part of the thrill of Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so we have to go up, and I said, I'd like you to say nice costume to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed, and Josh, very nervously, with trepidation, he did, and he pointed at him, because he could see he was short,
mm-hmm.
pointed to the door and to the bowl to get candy.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh was like, oh, he was nice. And as we're walking away, he hears him start screaming, and then Josh darts out like the Flash. So we have a couple of homes that do the Halloween,
mm-hmm.
like the backyard, not the full Halloween house effect,
mm-hmm.
but meant to scare people. And have you ever done... Matter of fact, I know there's one big one called Dark Hours. It's in Plano.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done one of the premier haunted house experiences?
A long time ago, yeah. We did and it wasn't a haunted house. It was a haunted hayride
mm-hmm.
Where we went through a farmer's field that had very tall corn, so you couldn't tell what was around the bend. And there were people that would basically pop out from the corn stalks and all of the traditional things that you normally get. On the, kind of being attacked from the outside. You know,
mm-hmm.
Freddie came out
mm-hmm.
And greeted us a couple of times, I just kind of sat there and went,
Well, that's big business, too. I think
it is.
Plano, I think it's like $26 a ticket.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've done those a few times,
mm-hmm.
and if you like to be scared,
mm-hmm.
it's fun. And
mm-hmm.
I enjoy that. I think I told you,
and there's a place down in Waxahachie that does it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Waxahachie is... the home of Scarborough Fair,
mm-hmm.
but they turned Scarborough Fair into a haunted village.
Really?
Around Halloween. You can go down there and walk through that thing for hours.
You know, I've never done. That's the Renaissance Festival.
That's
correct?
The Renaissance Festival.
Never been, and I always have enjoyed those in other states I've lived
mm-hmm.
in. I have not been in Texas. So.
Mm-hmm.
And another, you think about it, it's an extension of costume play, and kind of like Halloween is, but.
Mm-hmm.
People that are like me, sci-fi and superheroes, like to do the cosplay. They dress up as all the Comic-Con.
Yeah, and the people from the medieval times go down there and
mm-hmm.
they do the jousting. And I mean, it's the full works. And there are people that are
so
walking
cool.
around in costumes pretending to be, King Edward or whatever it might be or
mm-hmm.
whomever, that what period it might be. It's actually very interesting. The only trouble that I had, that's me, is that there are no plates.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no knives and forks.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when you go up and get something to eat, they put it in your hand and you eat it out of your hand. And so you end up, basically I carried a pocket of wet and dries because, it's just unreal. You're eating turkey legs or a pork chop or ribs or whatever it is. But, your hands just get covered with whatever food you're eating.
Oh, wow.
That's the way it is.
All right, so we have it. So Amy and I, after we finished our Halloween shopping last night, we had a late dinner,
mm-hmm.
And what was funny is before we did the four Halloween stores, we stopped at Lowe's.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because we should now get a preview for holiday stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, I've got a preview of a place in Plano. I said that will knock your socks off. That every year for Halloween is this Deerfield.
Yes.
Okay. And what is it? And the deal is it part of the HOA that they must spend $18,000 per home to illuminate?
It's
the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Almost like that. And when people move into the neighborhood,
uh-huh.
they inherit when they buy a home. They inherit a lot of the lights that go with it because all the lights, of course, have been customed for the outside
uh-huh.
of the house.
Wow.
As far as the running strand of lights, so. It's part of the deal. When you buy a house, you also have to buy the holiday
stuff.
Decorations.
And
to
is
go
it
along
literally?
With.
Is it part of the? It's part of the HOA.
Yeah,
they
it's
agree
a big,
to do
it's a big push.
They do it.
They get together and say, not everybody has to decorate, but it's kind of like we're
but
all going
be,
to decorate.
Why be one of these 6% of the homes that are not lit up?
Mm-hmm.
One of the highlights of every season is driving through, and you just are in awe of
mm-hmm.
house after house. you think you nothing will top that. Oh, and there's that top. And now it's topped again. And
mm-hmm.
then it goes on and on. So I was telling Amy about this, and I said we're really excited about seeing this for the first time for her since she's new to Texas. And I said, you know what? I said, imagine if in addition to Christmas, if they did the same amount of attention and money invested into making that like a zombie village for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I know, outside of charging $1 zillion to get through, I know there's no mm-hmm. financial impact,
mm-hmm.
but it sure does. I mean, everybody goes there at the Christmas holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, a neighborhood that big, and they said, you must make this like The Walking Dead
yep.
or a zombie or a scene from Thriller, the video.
Mm-hmm.
How cool would that be?
Yep. No, and people don't, I mean, they spend an awful lot of money. To be real honest. And I've talked with some of them before about their electrical bills in December and January. And I mean, it's off the charts.
So give us an idea. What is off the charts?
Well, I mean, typically, obviously, in the wintertime, it's a little bit colder, so you're running your heater, and so you're paying for gas and electricity.
Mm-hmm.
You're not paying for running the air conditioners. But a typical electrical bill for a 3,000 square foot home might run around $250-$300. It's $1,000.
Yeah. Wow.
Because they're running their decorations from the time it gets dark.
Yeah.
Until early in the morning when they all turn off, and they're doing it every single day. And you wouldn't think that a bunch of strings of Christmas lights chew up a lot of wattage, but they chew up a huge amount of wattage.
I mean, wait, for people that have never driven through this neighborhood, this is not a bunch of Christmas strands.
It's like Christmas at the Cranks.
We're literally talking probably hundreds of strands of hundred lights
per home, and then it's all synchronized. Some of them will synchronize it with music, and they've got lawn decorations going on at the same time, and and trees lighting halfway up and then changing colors. And I mean, it's just absolutely insane.
And when my parents come in, they always get a kick out of it. They said, and look, it's not just Christmas. They've got Hanukkah lights out at some of the houses.
Yes,
they
do.
Some people that are Jewish. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, we don't care. We are lighting
and
up.
And they had Kwanzaa lights out.
Did they?
A couple of them, people that celebrate Kwanzaa.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And the key for this is that nobody does like a tree.
Mm-hmm.
How can you spend an unreal amount of money and have it make it look like $1 million.
And I know some people that live there, and I've talked with them about what they do, and this is typically what happens right after Halloween. So on the 1st of November, because it's now a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
They will go to their storage locker with a truck, and they will take out all of the holiday decorations that they have in the storage locker, which is basically the storage locker.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will, and except that some of them have those pod things that they drop off in the driveway. They get a little smarter,
just
call up the pod thing and have it dropped off.
Good idea.
But they start decorating every single night all through November up till Thanksgiving. To get all this stuff assembled. That's how long it takes them to get this thing put together.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's unreal.
It's totally unreal.
And then they synchronize it all with, the computers and the music and everything else. Although, I did learn one thing from a couple of years ago, which I have now gone ahead and done, and it actually saves you a tremendous amount of money. A lot of people will go out and they'll get the strings of those little mini lights
mm-hmm.
and they'll put them out on their tree. And that's great for the first year or first 2 years until one of those little bulbs go off. And then, even though they say, well, when one light goes out, the rest of them stay lit. No, they don't.
Yeah.
And so the half of the string is lit or the whole string is out. But what I did is I noticed that the LEDs, were just as nice and stayed on much longer. And if one of the LEDs went out, then everything stayed on. So I was talking with them about it. And the difference is that the LEDs will run for 5,000 hours, where the little bulbs will run for about 500 hours
mm-hmm.
before they burn out, which is 10 times longer.
Mm-hmm.
The strings only cost about 5 times more. It's about $12 a string for LEDs versus $4 a string for the regular glass bulbs, and I found that they will last about 10 times longer. So
wow.
It's cheaper to buy LEDs than it is to buy the other ones and then replace them every 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
So for those that are just starting out, got their first home, whatever it might be, and they're thinking of doing something, you know, I'd encourage them to go and get LEDs rather than, and now they make the LEDs look like the little mini lights. If that's if you're really bent on, you've got to have it looking like the mini light.
Right.
You can get it so it's an LED and it looks like that.
Well, it's funny. I told you that we went to Lowe's first just to get a preview of holiday looks because, and I know that you do decorate your home.
Oh yeah.
For the,
no,
for
that's
Christmas.
A big thing for me. Christmas is a big thing. I decorate my house in Christmas, on the inside especially, a little bit on the outside, but inside especially, as much as my neighbor does for Halloween.
Really?
So we know what my religious convictions are in his.
Well,
a pagan.
Well, I hope people don't mind that Amy's going to be dressing up as Catwoman for Christmas as she goes to all the Christmas parties. They're going to say, what? And it's,
we paid money for it. We're going to use it.
Yeah, no. So we were looking, and so you just described us. You said for people to have a new place this year, a new home. Well, here we are living together for the first time together, and, of course, did she bring any of her Christmas stuff with her?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
You know, when you go through a divorce, you don't think who's going to get ornaments or, you know, and, of course, there's there's my ornaments, there's their own, you know. Well, guess what? I left all my ornaments in my home with my kids, and I know that would be, I'm sure it would be very troubling to them if I said, oh, this one is mine or this one is mine or I want these strands. So, And I'm the collector, so yes, I've amassed quite a bit of lights in the past, and that are all now at my former residence. And so Amy and I were looking. I said, "Huh? So we're gonna have to do like, you know, starting from scratch with ornaments and lights, and what are we gonna do with the tree? Are we getting a real tree? Are we getting a fake tree? We don't have a fireplace in our apartment, so what do you do with stockings in that point? You know, do you hang them on the oven?
Hang them on the radiator.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
On the air conditioner.
The AC.
that looks nice.
So we started looking, and the joke is we both have November birthdays, and she goes, have you thought about what you want for your birthday? I said, yeah. Christmas decorations, apparently.
Yeah, well, that's not a bad idea, really.
It isn't, because guess what? If you think about the $7 billion people spend at Halloween, what percentage of that is for decor? I'm never shocked at what people spend on I'll say Christmas, but you know, the Christmas holiday time decor. And it's weird when – it's one thing when you start and you kind of build slowly over time. And here we are starting our lives together, and we'll be building from scratch. I should probably post on some of the Facebook pages. Do you have old lights that you just don't plan on using this year? Ornaments that you've decided you need a new look? We'll take your tired, your weary ornaments, and we'll give them a good home, you know.
And there are people that do that.
There are, actually.
This year I'm going to have a green tree with red bulbs on it.
Yes.
You know, and everything else, you know, goes away.
So we're checking out at Lowe's, and we're looking at the fake trees. And we've probably, in my former household, we probably used a fake tree in probably half of the 20-some years. And then half we did alive. And there's something that seems so convenient about a fake tree. Maybe it's the I don't have to tie it up on the top of the car and get it home.
And the weight of it, because you know, it might not be like in the northern Wisconsin area or Wisconsin area when I grew up as a kid, and we went out and we cut a tree, because in the wintertime, you know, getting October, it gets really, really cold, and by the time you go out there in early December to cut the tree down, the sap has stopped running in the tree, so the tree really doesn't contain any more water. It preserves itself over the winter that way. So, you know, when you cut the tree down and you bring it in into the house, it's pretty lightweight. Down here, you go out and you actually cut a fresh-cut tree, and it's still full of water. And that thing weighs 100 pounds more than...
I mean,
I actually bought one year, and I put it in the stand. We had a stand that I used while we were up in Wisconsin. So I figured, well, I'll just put it in the same stand that I've always been used. I put it in the stand and tightened it all down so it would stand straight up. And the first thing it did is, because of the height and the weight of it, it began to lean. And as it began to lean, it literally bent the entire stand.
Oh, my God.
Because it was just so much more weight.
Wow.
In it. So I had to go out and buy a very heavy-duty stand, and that was, I think, the last year that I bought a real tree for two reasons. One, if I wanted a fresh cut, it was just impossible. I mean, it was just heavy.
Yeah.
But the other part of it was is that if you don't buy a fresh cut, you go to a tree lot and you buy one that's pre-cut. That baby's been cut in September. And it's been sitting there bundled and drying out like a big piece of kindling wood since September.
Wow.
And pine trees, which is what they make turpentine out of, pine trees have a tendency to be terribly flammable. So all you really need to do is have a spark or somebody getting too close with a candle, and that baby will go up in a puff of smoke. It's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen is how fast and furious a pine tree will go up in flame.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have decided I don't want that in the house. I would rather have a an artificial tree. Of course, now I have four
artificial trees.
Artificial trees. But they've lasted me years and years and years, and what I spent on the original one, which, you know, they're not cheap, but it has paid for itself over time with the cost of buying a real tree.
Right. So we started looking at the you know, artificial trees. It means to say fake tree. Like, fake tree? That sounds insulting. But, right, first off, the technology on them, at least the ones I saw at Lowe's, are so much better.
Oh, yeah.
Because, okay, so the last fake tree I had was this, like this plastic pole that is in five pieces, and each piece that connects has sprockets, and then you've got rounds and rounds of branches that you put in. And we had over 100 branches that we have to personally put in on each one. So I'm at Lowe's, I'm looking, and it looks like there's a button, and they're all permanently in there, but there's like, it's like brackets that bend, and they just fold forward. And it's like quick assembly. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
If these existed, you know, I had no idea. And it looked really cool, but I was like, but the ease of it. So I said, gee, maybe this is the way to go. And money-wise, I'm like, well, we're going to be spending some money for the first time, but is it a good investment? And then she goes, it would be a good investment, except for one thing. She goes, what will it cost to store, new apartment dwellers who have a storage unit that's completely packed? Unless we'd like to go with a year-round Christmas tree. I said, that's sounding really good right now. And then she goes, maybe we get a real tree, because the disposable part of it is we don't have to store it.
And that's true.
Like, that's,
you don't have
I
to
said,
store
that's
it.
That's interesting. So we're weighing that dilemma right now. And, I mean, you're right. Some of them, the artificial trees, they were expensive. We saw some that were in the $600 to $900
range.
That's correct. Now, we did see some in the $150 to $200 or $150 to $300 range, and they were still like nine feet tall trees. You know, and it's just going to depend on the length of the branch, and I'm sure the technology underneath it. Some of them are pre-lit, some of them are not. But so we're looking at it from a cost standpoint, and I thought, well, if it's pre-lit, then there's a lot less that we need. You know, then we don't need to be buying the lights and the LED conversation and all of that. But we're going to look at that versus the what would we actually do with it in the mid-January to mid-November period of time. So so that will help decide. But I said, all right, we need to get through this Halloween stuff this week, and we've got some decisions to make here. And the only sad thing is you don't get the price against the live trees that really won't come out until the first week of December. So there you go. So holidays are going to be very interesting in my household, in my multiple households this year. I've not figured out if I'm going to be part of decorating it with my kids at the house, but definitely be decorating at the apartment. And yes, As somebody that's gone through it, Rick, let me tell you, maneuvering through the holidays, the first year of going through a divorce, did you write a manual that I can read?
No, it's tough, though. I mean, it's as tough as when you first get married and then you're trying to figure out which in-laws you're going to be with on Thanksgiving and which ones you're going to be with on Christmas. I mean, and it's this constant push and shove of basically individuals saying, no, we want you here for Thanksgiving, and you're going, yes, but it's more convenient if I'm in this city on Thanksgiving and then come here on Christmas. But, you know, we really want you here on Thanksgiving. Well, we'd like to have you here for both of them. And, you know, it's just, it gets to be insane.
Well, I promise I'm going to stick this to the your money, your matters part and try to always we find the financial lessons in all these stories. But it's fascinating in figuring out when I'll be, you know, when I'll have the kids during the two week break from school, and when they'll be with their mom, and so I talked about this with them last week, and I said, so we're going to be celebrating, you know, the holidays on a different day. I said, you're going to be with your mom officially on Christmas Day, and I think going to Knoxville, Tennessee, to see, you know, with your grandmother, and I said, so we'll be celebrating either before or after. So my son started having questions. My daughter had different questions. And I said, but remember, I said, you're going to make out like bandits on this. I said, guess what? You're getting two Christmases, essentially, here.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, so I don't want to say twice as many gifts. I said, but knowing how I spend on the holidays, you're probably going to get twice as many gifts. I said, I said, this is a good thing, right? And, of course, they no, there's nothing good about this. We'd rather you be with us. And I said, I get that, but that's not the reality.
Yeah,
said,
that's not the reality.
And I said, let's just deal with where we are. And I think we're going to do the holidays on, like, the 29th. And I said, you know what's good? I said, the old saying, nothing is more over than Christmas. You know, you get through, you open up the final present, you maybe have your meal at lunch. You curl up in the fetal position, wrapped up in a blanket. You sleep, and then you hit post holiday. It's like postpartum depression.
Yeah.
You're like, it's over. I said, well, guess what? I said, you're gonna get through Christmas, and you're gonna have to make the long drive back to Texas, but you're gonna be able to look forward to. There's still more gifts to open. That's gonna be a good thing.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to talk budget, and figure out budget with. Both with what I'm going to be doing for my kids and what Amy is going to be doing with her kids who are in New Jersey and figuring out there's going to be some travel there for her to be able to see them on the holidays. But I think it's going to be very similar where we'll be together for Christmas, but we'll probably be either she'll be with her kids before and then with my kids after or we'll be each be with our own kids in the after period. I said, all right, so now there's the budget to figure out what are we spending on all the kids, plus the travel that's involved. Then I talked to my parents, and what my parents always did, my parents were always said, why don't you just buy presents on our behalf? And they would write a big check to my ex-wife and I and say, you know, here's $500 and use it toward the kids, you know, or use it toward all of you, you know, whatever. And so I spoke to my folks, and I said, so I said, what's going to be easiest for you to make it not awkward? I said, is it giving money to me to buy the kids gifts and they'll get all your presents from me on the 29th? Do you want to split that up so they're getting some presents from you on Christmas Day and then some later? Do you want to give them money directly? Because my parents just don't, they're not real shoppers. They're very generous and they're good gift givers, but that's not their thing. And I said, but financially this is important. I said, because we've got a different budget this year. And they're like, well, we think it'd be better to give you $250 and then give your ex-wife $250 and hoping that that'll be used toward the holidays for each of you and covering for the kids. But they said, you know, she's, you know, she maybe not through marriage, but she'll always be a daughter-in-law to us and mother of our grandkids. And I said, I said, I don't want you to skip her out at all. That wasn't it. I said, it's just these are firsts that we've got to figure out. And And it'll be interesting as my son's now asking, he's putting together the few things, the big things that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm navigating with my ex-wife. I said, mm-hmm. So does the big gift go to Christmas Day? Does it go to... And
mm-hmm.
she goes, I guess that depends on who's buying it now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that. And you think about it, that's a monetary play of, all right, if he's going to get a robot from one of us, and
mm-hmm.
that's like one of the big, either one of the big construction robots or the Star Wars robot is expected to be one of the big, the BB-8 is going to be one of the big toy sellers this year.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they said, if you haven't bought it by now, you're probably out of the game. So anyway, but we don't have finalized lists from them
mm-hmm.
yet. And then my daughter hit me where it hurts. And she goes, well, Dad, she goes, we're celebrating Christmas with Mom. She goes, why would you be celebrating Christmas? She goes, you're Jewish. She goes, wouldn't we just be doing Hanukkah with you?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, yeah, I said, except I've now celebrated Christmas more years than I haven't in my life
mm-hmm.
because of your mom. And I said, and I've celebrated Christmas with you every year, and we've
mm-hmm.
always, we do the religious tradition of Hanukkah, but that's not really a gift. We don't
mm-hmm.
do it as the gift holiday. We do,
mm-hmm.
we've just kind of defaulted because you don't want to have two major gift holidays in the same
mm-hmm.
month. So I've always said, yeah, Hanukkah's the, you know, we'll light lights and we'll do some
mm-hmm.
spinning of the dreidel and
mm-hmm.
have some latkes and,
mm-hmm.
but hang on for the majority of the gifts until Christmas. So I'm like, well, that's not really fair. And I said, and Amy celebrates Christmas, so
mm-hmm.
yeah, you know, but she challenged me with that. And then I thought, oh, great. I said, so instead we could turn this and then Hanukkah becomes the big spending
mm-hmm.
holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And then why did we never do that before? And so there's family things, but then there's monetary issues of that too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I think that's part of the issue, you know, that a lot of people may or may not realize when you go through a divorce, you may think that, well, now it's all done, but it lingers forever. The way that I used to put it was, it's like having a death in the family, but the ghost comes back once a month to check on you. I kind of looked at it a little bit differently, and it may be fairly odd, but the thing that I see is that it is more expensive. If you have two individuals now doing what you're doing, you know, celebrating birthdays and celebrating holidays and where people are going to be, and, of course, the grandparents want to see the grandkids, and so you have to go back periodically to wherever the grandparents are, or the grandparents have to come in. It becomes a financial nightmare at times from the standpoint you end up spending more money over in the future than you ever had spent in the past, only because you've now divided up the responsibility of kids and holidays
right.
and visitations and all those things that go on. So, you know, it's not an easy proposition. And like you said, is there a manual on it? There's as thick of a manual on it as there is in parenting. You know, there isn't a manual. I mean, there's certainly lots of manuals to take care of people's inner emotions, but there's no manual that, on what takes place on holidays and what takes place on birthdays and all of the other things that go on. And now you've got, you know, as you've experienced, two households running instead of one. And you've got, you know, just basically a duplication of a lot of things. So it's a tough, tough deal until the kids are grown up and are out on their own doing their own thing. And then it still becomes a little bit expensive from the standpoint of who's covering what, who's covering college, how is college going to be covered, who can afford what. Those were discussions that we got into it.
Wait,
as well.
Call 911. I'm having a heart attack.
But I mean, it is, you know, even with the college scene, you know, you figure, well, okay, we'll tally everything up and we'll split it right down the middle. But that may not be the capability of both parents at that point in time to be able to split it right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes a much more of a burden, maybe for one person rather than another. And then, of course, you could always have the situation where your child decides that they what they want to do is they want to go to an out-of-state college,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, basically for the first couple of years until residency is established, the kiss of death as far as I'm concerned.
No, no.
Unless you're riding on something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got a scholarship or you've got grants or you've got something to be able to cover that, the out-of-state tuition on a lot of these state colleges is just a killer.
Oh, yeah.
And so I often thought when my daughter was going around choosing colleges, I thought, well, why don't you go to the University of Wisconsin? Now, my alma mater, but I said, why don't you go to the University of Wisconsin? Because at least there you could go up, stay with my brother and sister-in-law for 6 months, establish residency in Wisconsin, and then be able to go to the University of Wisconsin on what they charge for in-state students rather than out-of-state students, because out-of-state students will fork over another $17,000 to $20,000
right.
just to go for their undergraduate studies.
And by the way, when you think about the financial ramifications of the in-state versus out-of-state, a lot of kids will not want to postpone for 6 months or whatever it's going to take.
They don't.
So you're not just saving $17,000 in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think, well, I've been living here, going to school. I'm a resident, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not considered a resident. You're an out-of-state, you know, occupant for school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 17,000 times 4 years, or really 5.5 years with the average college student taking to graduate.
Yeah.
So if you thought, wow, this could be more like $85,000 difference, maybe I should take that first 6 months or year and live there and not just earn a little money to get yourself positioned there, but then you're going to be saving as an in-state rather than an out-of-state. That's a perfect demonstration of creative financing so that you're having much less debt on the back end of your degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really think it's fair that you could have two kids going to a college, one's in-state, one's out-of-state, and they're both having to finance at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
The degree is worth the same. I'm not saying every degree is worth the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a history degree is not going to net the same as a business degree.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
But that said, let's say it's two people getting business degrees, two people that are, you know, getting a bachelor's in science, of you know, whatever. And yet one has paid maybe twice as much as the other based on geography. Well, you say, well, that was their choice. You think, well, was there really any cost difference for the school to serve an in-state student versus an out-of-state? And then you can say, well, what are the tax ramifications? Were tax money supporting the school throughout?
Right.
And that's why.
That's why.
But if you think that they're getting the tax money regardless, they're getting the tax money from all the residents year round anyway. And if you just think, well, reciprocation, you're going to have so many students coming out of your state to mine, I'm going to have some of the students going. Did they lose any money? No. It's just a markup. It is. I refuse to look at it and say, well, think about all these families that are utilizing us that didn't pay in. Well, think about all the families that paid in and didn't utilize you.
And I know that I know this for a fact at the university because I've heard those discussions going on, and those discussions were going on when I was a young man and not even an adult yet, living at home. And my father used to work he worked in the insurance field, but he also worked for the governor, and would get into these discussions on the university and the amount of money that the state of Wisconsin was giving to the University of Wisconsin. This was not a cost issue to the university, as you were saying, to take care of an out-of-state student versus an in-state student. This was a political decision made to appease the state taxpayers that an out-of-state student could come and take a seat away from an in-state student. So to appease the taxpayers, voters, they decided that out-of-state students would have to pay a significant amount of money more. And they started out, I think it was $10,000. They've worked their way up now because it didn't stop people that wanted to go and study under a certain Nobel laureate that happened to be at the University of Wisconsin. I mean, that happens with every university.
Sure.
That there are some things like in Indiana, you go to Purdue, great engineering university. People will go there to understudy certain professors that are noted in their field, and that's why they go there. And they'll pay the out-of-state tuition just to go.
Or you go to Indiana University.
That's right.
And which is the best music school in the country.
Yeah.
And and you go specifically to be trained and tutored by masters there.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I couldn't have our arch rival Purdue be listed without my alma mater. We've already talked about Wisconsin. You got Bucky Badger there. So
that's true.
Anyway,
beer and cheese and brats.
Yep. Oh my gosh. So you know, it's funny going back here, and we've segued into college costs. But as you're talking about a manual for people that split up families, you know, I for 15 years I've now taught a dealing with divorce, the financial ramifications of divorce, and I knew going in many of the financial costs and the things I would experience, and one of them is. And it's true to speak of as a teacher, and then it's true to live in as a divorcee, as you don't ever think, well, you're going to be trying to buy a person's love, or you're going to be competing of who bought this or who bought that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, Rick, you know, despite being a great consumer champion, I can spend with the best of them. And it's funny that I've been taken to the woodshed a little bit of, why is it that every time Josh spends the night, he comes back with a new toy? And I'm like, he's finding them here. They're buried in boxes. I'm still unpacking 6 months later. And of course, it's not an intentional thing, but I try to make all the time I've got with him special. I'm not getting quite the time with my daughter just because she's a sophomore in high school, and she's got all the high school stuff, and marching band and football games and competitions and I'm lucky to see her once a week, and she doesn't really care for toys. She's got, you know, that tweener, you know, the full teen, you know, I need technology and clothes and blah, 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 blah. But,
and it's closed now, I would imagine. My daughter, it was closed, and it was electronics, primarily game-type electronics, to the point now. I asked her not too long ago because she was over in Europe and the phone bill was climbing because we're still on the family plan, but I have to buy a different plan when she's international. And I said, you know, the data is going through the roof. What's going on? She said, well, I'm playing games. I went, but I thought all your games were like housed on the machine. And she's going, oh, no, these are online games, and I wear a headset with a microphone on it so that I'm talking with people all over the world as they're forming little army units and then going out and blasting some other location, and they fight with each other over the Internet on this thing. I'm going, okay. we might want to kind of curtail the battles for a while, at least for the next 2 months, so I can get kind of through this one phone bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things happen. I mean, you're absolutely correct. They change, and their toys become much more expensive.
Yeah. So it was interesting. Is I had a sit down with my ex-wife last week, and just being cordial, and I said, how are things financially in this household? And she goes, well, because we really worked a good budget for both of us. I think I've shared in the past, I was very generous, and I wanted to make sure that she and my kids could stay in the house in the best school district, you know, the possible. I mean, like, that was the most important thing to me. And the goal was not to see who is left with debt or anything, you know, and we had no debts outside of the mortgage. But you know, life is expensive. So she goes, yeah, that budget, she goes, it didn't go as straight as we planned it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, ironically, I said, the budget for me, I said, and I've got a roommate now, and yet I said, yeah, budget's not going necessarily as planned, and I'm trying to keep all the restaurants running by eating there at a different one every night.
Uh-huh.
You know, But then I think the safety net of savings that kind of got devastated during the process of divorce. There have been little things each month that have pecked away, and now it's like, all right, rather than depending on savings, it's the, all right, well, we're very thankful to have a line here that we can run that through until we get caught up. And, anyway, so it's it was interesting, and just talking and saying, well, nobody said it was cheap, and obviously nobody said it was easy, but I think it's really good, and hopefully we can model good behavior for people that do go through this of being considerate on both sides, and the goal is not to have one person struggling while the other is you know, laying in luxury. The other side, you don't want to see either side hurt when the kids are with them, and saying, well, we're eating cereal for the fourth straight night because that's what we're eating, or something like that. So it's good we both kind of stay in touch and in sync, and saying, well, what can we do to minimize costs? And I was terrified. I saw on WFAA that specifically for the city of Frisco, there were massive numbers of complaints for what seemed to be erroneous billing on water bills. And the city said, well, this is just because we lifted the watering bans. And they said, and due to that, the average household, not average spender, average household is now using more than twice the water they did last year.
We had this discussion in Plano and as recently as last night at the city council.
Really?
Meeting, really? Where the people that run that department came in with charts and graphs to show us the amount of water that was pumped to homes, not businesses, but the amount of water that was pumped to homes in the past few months. And you're right, our city also lifted that ban. And people were complaining that the meter was wrong, there's no way that I could have used that much water, and on and on and on and on they went, and they were, you know, trying to refute the bill. And what we found was is that they were using 3 times more water than they had in the past 3 years, because they were watering their lawn now whenever they wanted to water their lawn, and the city was pumping it, and we could see it in the pumping, that the amount of pumped water in the city is now 3 times larger than it was last year when we were conserving, and 2 times larger than the year before where we weren't conserving as much. So, you know, a lot of it came from the homeowners themselves just basically using it as if it's, you know, a free thing like air, and not realizing that, you know, this stuff costs money, and I'm not really gauging how much I'm using. So we found that there was a lot of that. And people put on what I would call dripper hoses, thinking, well, you know, I won't spend as much money with a dripper hose, but then they left it on 24 hours a day all week long.
Well, that's why we've decided.
That causes part of the problem.
Rick, that's why we've decided at my old house that we're going to just spray paint the grass green from now on.
That's
and no
a
more
good
watering.
Plan.
No more watering.
That's
but,
a good plan.
But a lot of good financial tips all around the holidays here from your friends at Cornerstone Credit Union League and Navicor Solutions. As always, we hope you have a fun Halloween week. Hopefully lots of treats and no tricks, including no financial tricks, if you're spending this week. That's all I'll be doing.
And so, everybody, have a really great Tuesday, and we hope to talk to you again in 1 week on Your Money, Your Matters.